You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And I'm Kat Gunther from White Lake, Michigan. And you're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast for Horses in the Morning on Tuesday, May 21st, 2024. Good morning, Horse World.
You're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast, where we explore the versatility of the world's most popular breed of horse, the American Quarter Horse.
We're highlighting the exciting sport of mounted shooting. Prior to this episode, I have to be completely honest with you guys and say that I didn't know anything about this sport other than how bomb-proof these horses have got to be and how much I wish that my horses were this bomb-proof to any noise.
Yeah, same.
Kat, do you have any experience in mounted shooting, and did you know about this sport?
I knew it existed, but I never did it, never knew anything specific about it, but it's very cool the more I learn.
Absolutely. And we have two fantastic guests on the docket.
As an overview for Ashley and our listeners who may not be familiar, mounted shooting, also called cowboy mounted shooting, is a fast-paced equestrian competition that combines horseback riding with target shooting. Riders race through a course on horseback, shooting balloon targets with blank ammunition from single-action revolvers. Safety is the priority, and guns are unloaded until competitors enter the arena, which that is priority. That's what I first thought when I was hearing about mounted shooting. I'm like, what if people who watch this thing? Because
right. No kidding. Like, yeah. They're in arenas. It's not like they're in an open field, like high stakes.
The more I learn, the bullets, quote unquote, only travel about, like, I think it was 20 meters, something along.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Zane will go into this more, our podcast guest, but I can give you a breakdown of the sport overall.
Good. We love to hear it.
Three core components. So there's the horsemanship and shooting skills, the course, and the competition. So horsemanship and shooting skills. Success in mounted shooting requires both exceptional riding skills and the ability to shoot accurately while on horseback at high speeds. The course. Riders navigate a predetermined course with balloon targets placed at specific points. The course design can vary depending on the competition organizer. And lastly, the competition. Competitions are divided into different categories, including age groups and skill levels. Riders are judged on both speed and accuracy. Penalties are incurred for missing targets or dropped guns. So overall, mounted shooting is a relatively new sport conceived in the early 1990s, but it has grown significantly in popularity. There are several governing bodies that regulate the sport, including the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Association, or CMSA. These organizations set rules and host competitions for riders of all ages and experience levels.
So this is making my brain glitch because not only am I riding my horse at a canter or a gallop, I'm also focusing on targets, shooting my gun at said target. I can't see straight. I'm thinking so hard just in theory about this.
Oh, I know. And it's all timed. So it's who has the fastest time. So you're going as fast as you can shooting these targets. It blows my mind.
I'm over here like, oh, am I on the correct lead? Is my diagonal correct? Yep. And these people are literally gun blazing out the gate. How incredible.
I know. It makes me want to be a cowgirl now.
Well, I mean, for the outfits alone, let's be honest.
I know. And just to look so cool going in there, like you said, guns blazing, like.
Wow. Well, I know both of our guests today are well known in both the CMSA and the AQHA for what they do best, and that's sharpshooting on horseback at high speed. You know, I thought in my riding career, jumping, eventing, I thought I had adrenaline issues, but like these guys are a whole nother level. Well, let's get to our first guest.
To Today, I am joined by Zane Chun, who knows quite a bit about the world of mounted shooting. Among other accomplishments, he is a 7-time AQHA mounted shooting world champion, holds over 70 professionally qualified wins, and has been inducted into the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Hall of Fame. And all I can say is, wow. So let's hop right in. So Zane, thank you for being here. I mean, to start off, I just love to hear a little background about you, what got you into this event, and how you've become so successful in it.
Yes, for sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited. I started riding horses when I was 5 years old, learned to ride and, you know, become a cowboy, basically. My family was all city slickers and whatnot, basically. And so my mother was, you know, very supportive of the idea. And so she, at age five, got me English riding lessons. And so I was showing English Arabian and doing hunter jumper and dressage. So I did that from age 5 to 9. And then when I was 9, we actually saw mounted shooting on TV. And it just also so happened that the lady who's a good friend of my mom's that did her hair, her parents did mounted shooting locally. So anyways, we got with the local group of mounted shooters. And of course, I jumped right in and fell in love because, you know, what more does a kid want to do than grow up and pretend to be John Wayne, basically? And so, in 2007 is when I started. And at that point in time, I mean, it obviously consumed me because, I mean, I loved horses, I loved guns, and it was just the absolute perfect match. So I kind of set at that point, you know, I decided I want to be the best at this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I worked every day to try to achieve that. And it's been a very good ride so far.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is quite a switch. So you went from Arabians to quarter horses doing mounted shooting.
I did, yes. And okay. I'm very thankful. You know, starting out riding English gave me such a great foundation in riding. And so definitely gave me the great stepping stone to be able to ride Western and whatnot. And so, yeah, I started. How mounted shooting works is everyone 12 years old and under obviously does not shoot the guns. Mm-hmm. So I started out as what's called the Wrangler division for, you know, kids 12 and under. So I did that for the first couple of years where you just ride the patterns. And then after age 12, go into the adult division. And so how mounted shooting is currently structured is it's levels, and the levels are determined by the amount of wins you get. So everyone begins as a level 1 and then progresses up to level 6 being the highest level. And so I became a level 6 actually at age 15, which at the time was, you know, the youngest to ever do so as a men's level 6. And anyways, then I, you know, obviously kept pursuing and won my first major championship in 2016. I won the overall at the national championship, and that was my first major win. And I've now gone on to win the national championship, I guess, 6 times.
Wow. Which congratulations.
That'll be my next event, defending champion in a couple of weeks at the national championship in Nebraska. So yeah.
Wow. Good luck. I'm sure you'll do great. Your track record's pretty good. So how does it work? Like, just go through a typical class, because a lot of our listeners, me included, this is like the first time I'm learning about how mounted shooting is done in competition.
Yes. Yeah, so it entails, it's timed, you know, like barrel racing. So it's all based on time and accuracy. So there's 10 balloon targets. You use 2 Colt 45s. So you'll shoot 5 targets, holster that gun, and then pull the other one out and shoot the remaining 5. So there's about 60, 70 different patterns. Some of them have, you know, up to 3 barrels in them. Some of them have no barrels. It all, you know, just depends. And so basically the fastest, you know, I'll ever run a pattern is, you know, the lowest time will be an 8-second run, which is shooting 10 balloons. And, you know, the time difference range is just based on the pattern and the design of the pattern. So it's all time and accuracy. If you miss a target, it's a 5-second penalty. If you hit a barrel, it's a 5-second penalty. And then if you, you know, get off course or whatever, there's other penalties involved. So, you know, you have to be very astute in, you know, being able to maneuver your horse. And obviously it's time, so you want to do it very quickly. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely mind-blowing. Like, that is so cool. I come from a quarter horse showing horsemanship, you know, spin fast, like lope off, like that kind of background. So hearing all this,
yes,
it just sounds so cool. It sounds like the Wild West, and I love it.
Oh, it's so fun. And it's, you know, over the last few years, it's really modernized.
So is it just quarter horses that compete in mounted shooting, or are there other breeds that do that too?
It's primarily quarter horses, but yeah, it's open to any breed. Now, we obviously do have the quarter horse events, which We have the AQHA World Championship. And then it's also, it's affiliated with the American Paint Horse Association as well. And there's actually a world championship event at their world too. So yeah, it's the, you'll see, I mean, it's typically quarter horses and, you know, a lot of cowbred is good. My main horse right now, Mocha is what I call him. Registered name is Costa Smart Hickory, but he's kind of a cowbred horse. And, you know, he's 15'2", so kind of a moderate size. And that's what I've ridden, you know, much taller and much shorter ones. I mean, you can kind of have any size or shape do it. That's the fun thing about it. You know, obviously we ride in a lot of different arenas. So, you know, small arenas suit some and larger arenas and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So what is it about quarter horses that makes them so good at this event? Because I've watched videos and they just seem so quick and so like they can turn on a dime and just...
Turning is probably the biggest key in my opinion. I mean, obviously speed is important, but you have to be able to, you know, go basically, you know, do 180s, 360s at times, and you have to be very maneuverable. So that's why I think quarter horses are so well suited at it, especially some with cow horse backgrounds, you know, such as rain cow horse backgrounds really excel in mounted shooting. But yeah, it really does go down to that. You know, they're just so versatile. And, you know, it all, you know, is much easier when they're really broke too. I mean, that is such a key in mounted shooting.
Oh, for sure. And I feel like quarter horses have a very good temperament overall. You know, they're very chill, willing to go along with whatever the rider says most of the time. We can't say all the time. Like, they're animals, but you
know. It's been so cool too. Yeah, to see the progression. Yeah, I started mounted shooting in 2007, which really ages me. I'm only 26, but it's been really cool to watch the progression of the quality of horses, you know, just continually get better and better. And that's what I'm so excited. I mean, you know, mounted shooting is only about 30 years old. So there's, I mean, the potential as far as the sport can go is really unlimited and it's virtually untapped. I mean, so many people have not even heard of it. And that's what I'm really working hard. You know, the current association and stuff is more driven on just the mounted shooting membership and stuff, but I've been working on some new things to actually bring mounted shooting more on a large stage as far as viewership and stuff, because it is really, when you're watching the highest level especially, it's so fun to watch. I mean, it's one of those sports, you know, I kind of equate it because it's so fun to watch, not only because of the action going on, but you know exactly, like it's instant gratification. You know if the person won or lost or if they hit the targets or they didn't. I mean, it's very self-explanatory when you're watching it. You know, it's you against the timer. And yeah, so that's what really, I think as far as viewership goes, I think you'll start seeing a lot more stuff. There's a lot of things upcoming that I'm working on to bring it to a wider audience that aren't necessarily horse people or anything else, just because it is, you know, I mean, the Western industry is so hot. And I think people are kind of looking for that.
Oh, for sure. It's exciting. It's exciting to watch.
It is.
Me watching the YouTube videos, I'm like, oh my goodness, I would love to be in the crowd just with some popcorn. Like, yeah.
Oh, for sure. And it's very, you know, it's spectator safe because we're not shooting projectiles. It is black powder blank and it goes about 20 feet. So it's kind of like a firework. It's the burning embers that actually burst the balloon. So there's no projectiles, safe and everything.
Yeah. It looks cool.
So, yeah. It looks cool.
It looks really cool. That is awesome. So what are some ways you think people could start getting involved in it? Let's say they have a quarter horse or they, I don't know, are just interested in it.
Yes. You know, the best way is to find an event to go to. That's the great thing about mounted shooting. The people are so welcoming and so helpful. And so, I mean, that's what I would recommend. There's clubs and events in pretty much every state across the country. So I would say, you know, find an event, go talk to people, go learn. You know, there's a lot of different... The thing is, there's a million ways to do mounted shooting. There's a million styles on how to do it well. You know, and you have to find what works well for you. I mean, what works well for me may not work well for the vast majority. And I say that a lot because it's very true. I mean, you have to find what works best for you as far as equipment, horses, I mean, just everything, because there are so many, I mean, even down to the different kinds of guns. I mean, it's just all, there's so much personal preference involved. And so the best way to do it is try, you know, as many as you can. And anyways, you know, yeah, I would say do that. You know, find a good trainer in your area. And there's a lot of good trainers in mounted shooting around that will, you know, help you and kind of get a good foundation. Because, you know, one of the tougher things at times is getting the horses used to the sound or even sometimes the smoke bothers them, which is very bizarre. But I had a horse several years ago. She didn't mind, which we use, you know, hearing protection for the horses, but she didn't mind the sound really, but she was scared to death of the smoke. It was the funniest thing, you know, because a lot of smoke comes out when you shoot and stuff. But oh yeah, she would just completely freak out about the smoke. But yeah, they're all different. Some of them could care less from the get-go, and some of them take considerable time to desensitize to it. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I never even thought of the smoke. I guess it makes
it's
sense.
Funny, yeah.
It is kind of funny. You know,
we now, a lot of the major events and bigger events are using automatic balloon inflators. So it's kind of it's its own enclosed station, and it blows the balloon up and everything. And those are kind of, they're big and white and scary sometimes too.
Yeah, getting the horses used to all that. That's, because I mean, usually quarter horses are pretty like, the ones I've been around have been pretty like calm and chill, but it's hard to get a horse, a prey animal, used to those sounds and those sights, honestly.
Yes, yes.
That's
amazing. Of course, primarily we're in, you know, enclosed arenas and stuff too, so it, a lot of different variables involved with that. But yeah, I'm really excited for the future mounted shooting because, like I said, there's, and I'm in the works of a lot of things that I can't quite discuss the details on, but I think, you know, next year especially, there's going to be the general equine population as well as non-horse people are going to be hearing a lot more about mounted shooting coming up. And I'm really excited about it because, you know, it's afforded me a lifestyle. I mean, I fell in love with it and I grew up and, I mean, I have so many lifelong friends because of the sport, you know, all across the country. I mean, I have so many friends all over the country and even, you know, the world because of mounted shooting. And I would just love for more people to be able to enjoy that as well. It really is it's a great sport. And it's, you know, the fun thing too is no matter how good you get and what you achieve in it, you can always improve in areas. And it's always a challenge. And that's what keeps me doing it. I mean, I've had a good career already. It's strange to be in the Hall of Fame.
You have an okay career.
But I was like, yeah, I'm not finished yet. I hate to tell you guys, I'm not going away yet.
That's crazy. By 26, that's a little bit better than good.
It's been fun. And yeah, that's the thing. I love doing it. It's always something that I look forward to no matter what. And it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very special to be able to work and do what you love and you're passionate about and share that with people. Like, I'm very excited to see what you're coming up with when you can talk about it.
Yes. And I am. Good. We'll have to have another conversation about it then, because I think it will be very well received and exciting.
Yeah. We'll have a follow-up. And then one last thing, we do have a fun question at the end of every episode. So tell us about your favorite quarter horse and what makes them so special, or like one of their quirks that you find funny.
Well, actually Mocha, who's my main horse, he's actually, you know, the winningest horse of all time in mounted shooting as far as the major championships go, but he's blind in his left eye and has been. I got him in 2009 as a yearling, and he went blind about 7 years old, and he kept having a recurring infection that finally closed his retina. But when he went blind, we didn't know it initially. And so a good friend of mine who was riding him and seasoning him for me, she actually turned a little sharp and hit a barrel. And the way he reacted was like he didn't see it. And so she came out, she looks at me and she says, "That was so weird. I hit the barrel and it was like he didn't see it." You know, like, yeah, that was, you know, I'm going, what did you do, Diana? You know, I'm going, what you do? And anyways, there was a vet there and she had the vet check and he was completely blind in that eye. And so at that point I was getting ready. He was, you know, going to be one of my next main horses. And so I was kind of like, I was dumbfounded. I didn't really know, you know, do you proceed? Do you, like, is he ever going to be any good? Whatever, you know? So anyways, I luckily kind of rolled the dice and decided to continue with him. And yeah, anyways, I've won the AQHA World, I think, 3 times on him. And then he's the major championship winningest horse of all time by a lot. I think 15 majors on him. And so, yeah, he turned out pretty good. But anyways, yeah, he is blind in his left eye completely. Now it's got a cataract actually covering up. So it's more noticeable.
But
he is he's got such a great personality. Yeah. Mozon McKibben actually trained him and put the foundation on him. So it was really unbelievably broke by the time I started riding him. And he's just the best mounted shooting horse that I've ever ridden and the best horse I've ever owned, and it's so fun and fulfilling. I mean, every time I get on him, it feels like a blessing because he's so fun to ride.
And he's blind in one eye.
He's blind. I know. I know. I'm like, I just can't imagine how good he would be if he had two eyes. You know, I'm going, wow, I can't even fathom. It's unbelievable to me the amount of trust that he has too. I mean, because he is completely, you know, relying on me not running him into barrels or balloons or whatever over there.
Sounds like he trusts you. He sounds like a good horse.
The only barrels I've ever hit have actually been on the blind side. So we know whose fault that is.
Yeah. It'd be like, buddy, get your eye work in. Get your eye work. Jose, well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I look forward to listening to your shows too.
It's May, and you know what that means. It's fly predator season.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with fly predators. Fly predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem, saving you and your horse from battling them all season long. Take it from our 23,000 plus 5-star reviews. Fly predators are the natural fly control that works. Learn more about fly predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at spalding-labs.com.
And joining us now is Anthea Buss, who is the 2023 AQHA and CMSA Amateur World Champion with her faithful quarter horse, Freckadoc Power, hailing from Georgia and recently married to a fellow mounted shooter, if we're not mistaken. Congratulations on all
fronts,
Anthea. What a truly exciting few months you've had.
Yes, it's been crazy.
The best kind of crazy.
Yes.
So to kick us off, tell us how long you've been shooting on horseback and how did your passion for this sport begin?
So I started my rookie year in 2019. Did a couple of clinics in 2018 to kind of get my feet wet into it and jumped in it at the beginning of 2019. How I found it. We had a 4-H clinic. The lady came out and they basically got on a horse and they taught us how to do it.
That's so simple and straightforward.
Yep.
So what style of riding, what's your background then before this infamous 4-H clinic day that is now historical?
Growing up, my mom did a lot of English riding. She did a bunch with dressage, and I grew up in that area too, but I also did ranch horse. Mixed in with a little bit of ranch horse, we did 4-H drill team, like our mounted drill team. Rodeoed for a little bit. Done a bunch of different stuff.
So it took you... It was a road to get here, and you sound like a very well-rounded horsewoman ahead of, you know, getting started in this sport. Kat and I were talking earlier in the show just about how we can hardly chew gum and walk because it seems like you have to be thinking about everything when you're in the arena competing in this sport. Do you feel that, you know, your colorful background, having a bit of dressage, ranch horsing, drill teaming, really helped you shoot for the stars in this sport?
Oh, 100%. Coming into it and already knowing, like having a background of riding really helped, because then you just add a gun into the mix. And I had never really shot. I mean, I've shot a gun previously, but not that consistent. And coming into it where I already knew how to ride, already knew what to do with a horse, that really helped.
And I'm curious, how do you begin the process of desensitizing your horse for the sport? Because that's just something off the bat I think of. Like, aren't they going to spook? I mean, and they're prey animals. So it's like, how do you even begin with that?
So a little bit of a backstory on Freckadoc Power. We call him Doc. He was a rodeo horse. He was a heel horse. And so when we got him, we actually bought him from my brother, who was going to start roping. And he was in different mindset. He wanted to go off to the military. So I ended up, his horse became mine. And when we started this whole shooting thing, I thought the same thing. I was like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do here. And what we did was we loaded the guns. I rode next to another lady and her horse, and she would shoot off the other direction. So I would be, they was on the right side of her. She's riding on the left. She shot to the left. And it really helps having another horse that's already gun broke so that your horse doesn't, like, goes along with what their horse is doing.
Okay. So how long did it take you to really get him desensitized to it to where you felt comfortable competing?
Oh, I would say a few months, maybe not that long. It doesn't really do sounds very well. So he actually wears earplugs, little foam earplugs that go in his ears. Even going back to drill team, when we were on drill team, they would blow a whistle. He would shake his head at it. So he's not a very like loud noise. Like the speaker starts popping. He doesn't like that. So going into it, it took a minute, but we got it after a while.
Is there other kinds of special care or special tack that you use in this sport? Whether it's like, you know, for example, reining, you know, they have like the slider plates, or in eventing, they have cleats for the horseshoes. Is there anything special like that that you use on Doc or you see used in the sport?
No, Doc is barefoot. We do use like sports boots. He has all fours, and then he's got some overreach boots. Just he is a shorter backed horse, so never want him to clip themselves, even if he's barefoot. But not that I know of. I believe like most horses are either shod all the way around or barefoot.
Very cool. Now, I want to talk about the weekend of the World Championships. On my deep, deep research of the internet, I stumbled that you and Doc took a tumble that weekend before securing this incredible title. Tell us about what happened and how you recovered physically and mentally, because, you know, I think that both recoveries are just as important as the other.
Yes. So we did have a lovely stumble. It was in our main match, which is the World Show with CMSA. We have 5 stages that you run. And we ran in the AQHA class the beginning of the week. And that secured me we had 2 stages, so just 2 different patterns that we ran. And that got me into the top 15 of our whole amateur class. I believe there was 20 or maybe 21 all total to try to make it into Saturday morning to run for the Globes. I believe it was a Thursday that we went in for our very first stage of main match. And you went down the long side of the arena, and then you like kind of turned back around a barrel and then went across the arena, if that makes sense. So when we went around, all the other horses were all turning in the same spot. And he found a soft spot in the ground and fell over. It was a very hard fall. We actually got the photographer at the shoot, actually got a bunch of pictures of it, which was kind of cool in some way, seeing like how slow motion it was. But that was also the first time that he's ever fallen that I know of. So he's actually 23 this year.
Oh my goodness. We love to see a seasoned quarter horse out in the ring just kicking butt.
He is 23. Yep. I had to do the math a second. So we actually thought I had broken my pelvis where the horn had gotten me whenever he landed.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
in enough pain that they were like, maybe like broke a pelvis. I was like, I have no idea. I just know I am not going to stop anybody from taking me to the hospital. I'm in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got worked on by one of our fellow shooters. She is a chiropractor, and she got him fixed up, and he never threw a lame step or anything. So we knew he was good. Another friend of mine warmed him up Saturday morning just because I was still in a bunch of pain. So getting back into like the mindset to shoot Saturday, because we had fell Thursday. I took Friday off, being that I was already out of it, because once you hit the ground or your horse, if you fall off or you and your horse hit the ground, you automatically are, it's not like a disqualification, but you get a 60 for hitting the ground or falling off. Mm. So like, there's really no pushing either one of us to run when there was a point to do it, but I was like, well, we'll give us the day off. And asked a friend of mine if she'd mind warming him up, and she did. And just, I didn't want to throw it, but I didn't want to not do it, being that I had already made it back in the top. I believe I was like 6 when I come back into AQHA.
Sure. You worked so hard to get there and you're so close.
Yes. And yeah. A couple years before, the same horse had, I believe, 21. He won me a reserve title.
So you knew the you knew that you had the taste in your mouth.
You're ready to get it.
I would say so, yes. But going back into this, coming back in the sixth hole, we had to maintain the, like, there was still a bunch of competition before, like, to go still. So we just prayed it stuck, and it did.
That's incredible. Yeah.
It really is. It sounds like the community, too, is just very helpful. And do you want to talk about that a little bit? Like, what is it like within the mounted shooting circle?
Oh, everybody is so sweet. So, like, say your horse came up lame one day of one of the shoots, people start offering you a horse. Or say something broke on your gun, they'd offer you a gun. They're all so sweet. They're like your family.
I love that. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And that's not the case in every discipline, I'm sure, as we all know.
Yes.
So, and especially it being a new sport, that's really helpful, I'm sure, to grow it, right? If people are actually having fun at the competitions.
Yes. No, we have they call them weekend shoots. So it's two-day match. You shoot Saturday and then you shoot Sunday. And those are how you go and not your practice, but you go, and that what gets you into, like, their CMSA standing. We've been trying to go this year, but it just hasn't. We're trying. We've been super busy, but my mom is actually going to her very first shoot this weekend.
Oh, well, good luck, Mom.
Yes.
Oh, that's so exciting. You'll have to message us back and let us know how she does. Is she going to be riding Doc, or does she have her own horse?
So she actually has a Mustang.
Oh, we love a Mustang.
Yes. He came to us already gun broke. That's how they did the Mustang makeover challenge, was they actually shot off of him. And I had taken, this horse is named Moonshine. I had taken him to a shoot before. So we already knew that that she was good. And I actually left my guns with her, and she's borrowing another family's holsters. Just, she wanted to make sure she, like, really loved it before she, like, got into all of buying. Cause, like, I mean, I don't exactly know how much because you have to get two guns, and I'm not quite positive how much each one is, but then you have to go and have somebody make your holsters, and they measure you, and she's like, well, I'm going to borrow until I'm 100%, and then I'll get a pair, because, like, I borrowed a pair for quite a while before I had a pair made, because it's like getting them custom made to you, because they size them, and then how you want your holster to fit on you and the way you want your gun to be. Because you can have them in front of you, like on your stomach, or you can have them on your waist. Mm-hmm. I've seen a bunch of people. And then they had them coming down, like, how do they have? They have them laid, like, across your chest downwards. So, like, they're on top of each
other.
Right. So there's a bunch of different ways to have your holsters.
So that, now we're getting into the specialty accessories, if you will, of the sport. I was gonna say, this can't be just anybody in their Western saddle and bridle. That wouldn't be very, very horse people of us. We need it. Everybody loves a good accessory.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, and then when you get into your chinks, those are another accessory.
Sure.
I actually have some maroon ones.
Ooh, cute.
Yep, they have, I believe, gator skin on the top, which I was like, what? I don't know how that would work or look. And I was like, oh, nope, I love it.
So, oh, I bet it looks great.
Oh, yeah. It's got some silver, black, and maroon fringe coming off of them.
I love it. That's all. I think if you don't look good, what's the point, frankly?
Yep.
You know?
Oh, and then look good, feel good. And they've come out with all the different color of hats. Oh, love all of those. I've got me a maroon one.
So tell me, in regards to shooting, do you guys go to the gun range and practice, like, or is all of your shooting done on horseback when you're practicing? How does that work?
So they have different local people will put on, like, a practice day where we'll go to, like, a friend's farm, and they'll set up different patterns, because there's a ton of patterns. We've got multiple. We'll have a rule book, and then on the back there'll be a pattern and how to run it and how far apart each pole what the balloon is and how far each barrel is. So you'll go to, like, I know we would go to a friend's farm and we'd set up practices and you'd bring your own ammo. We don't necessarily go to a gun range, or I haven't been to a gun range to practice. I have heard of people giving their horse a day off and they'll actually do the pattern. Somebody drives a foiler and they sit on the foiler and shoot. I have seen
I love it.
That sounds like a whole new sport we could make up.
Yes. I believe it was back when COVID happened. And another one was like practicing with your friends and family. They had a virtual mounted shooting page through Facebook. And this guy, he would pick two patterns. A group of people would pick two patterns. They'd post them on Facebook. And people would send in their videos of them practicing at home. Because with COVID, we really couldn't go to a bunch of shoots. So that way we could all stay in and stay tuned up, ready to go. So as soon as we could go back to shooting, we could.
That is so cool. I love all this. So our last question we always ask our guests. So tell us about your favorite quarter horse and what makes him so special to you and your riding career.
Ooh, it would have to be the horse that I grew up with. He is actually Doc's cousin. His name is Tronalina. And I got him when I believe I was 6. He was 8. He is now 24. I shoot off of him as well. But whenever I started shooting off Doc clicked to it quicker than Trona. So I had shown Trona ranch horse. I had rodeoed off of him. I did show jumping off of him. Cross country, we did everything, all of the 4-H shows, and I finally got him in where he's like, okay, I'll shoot. And I took him to his first shoot, and I actually went into my back pasture where our cows are and put holsters on, loaded the guns, and just looped him in a big circle and just shot to make sure that he still knew what was going on. And oh, he loved it. We ended up going to a shoot, and he placed very well. But that's just because I already had a bond with him, being that we grew up together. And there's not a lot of kids that can say like different titles they've won on a horse. And I love that I've always had the same horse. Like, I've got multiple horses, but just having him has been pretty special.
And that's exactly what we're about on this show, is highlighting the versatility of quarter horses. And it sounds like you get that on a cellular level.
Yeah. It's quite funny. My mom used to have a boarding barn and she'd give lessons. And when I was 6 years old, this horse, Trona, came to my mom's barn to actually be sold. Well, she fell in love with him to start with. And the guy would come and he'd check me like, oh, like, is nobody interested in him? She goes, well, I want him for Anthea. And that was the rest of history.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thanks, Mom is right.
Oh, man. Well, Anthea, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the show. We can't wait to watch and see what you and Doc get into this year. And can't wait to see how Mom does at her first mounted shooting competition.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Quarter Horse Podcast on Horses in the Morning. Be sure to like, subscribe, and tell your friends all about the world's favorite breed of horse.